It's Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Every year, holiday decorations at the Capitol include Christmas trees donated by a Wisconsinite. WPR's Brianne Schassow tells us more about the tradition and the man behind this year's tree.
In the center of the state capitol rotunda, a 25-foot balsam fir wears colored lights. Ornaments celebrating Wisconsin's traditions, this year's ornament theme, drip from the branches, paying homage to Friday night fish fries, dairy cows, and the Green Bay Packers. The balsam fir is itself a tradition. Since 1916, a tree has stood in the rotunda for the holidays. Christmas trees are a big business in Wisconsin. The state ranks fifth in the nation for the number of trees harvested, nearly 2 million each year. This year's tree in the rotunda is a native of Anago, just like the man who donated it. Jim Drager has sold Christmas trees for almost 50 years and grows balsam and Fraser firs. The Frasers, though, are his favorite. This year, he was selected to donate 6 trees, 5 of which are at the state capitol. The 6th is at the governor's mansion.
That is probably Governor's Mansion is probably one of the prettiest trees I've ever seen, and very nice. And that was a Fraser. The only balsam was the one in the rotunda, and most people can't tell the difference. It's just that they were all grown in Wisconsin. The balsam are more of a native of Wisconsin, but you can't, unless you're in the business, you can't hardly tell the difference. They're just a little bit thicker and a little darker green.
Drager estimates he has between 20 and 30,000 trees at various stages of growth, and it takes about 10 years to grow the average Christmas tree. Most of Drager's trees end up in Anago and Rhinelander. However, his trees have traveled as far as Florida for holiday celebrations. Over the years, experience has taught Drager how to grow a Christmas tree. One thing that doesn't work, he says, are the animals. For some reason, deer love nibbling on the Fraser firs, but they don't touch the balsams. Over the years, Drager has tested ways to keep them away from his trees. One even involved leftover Christmas decorations.
One year right after Christmas, they were working on a patch of mine. The deer were. So I went to Walmart and bought some little Santa Claus, you know, those motion. And when you walk by him, like Santa Claus starts to wiggle. I said, oh, that'll work. Well, I bought a couple of them, 2 or 3 of them. They were on sale after Christmas. And I hooked them up with a battery. Put them out in the field. Boy, it looked like it was working good for about 2 weeks. We had the cameras out there. After about the 3rd week, the deer were licking Santa Claus's face. I said, that isn't the answer.
Drager admits that growing trees is a lot of work. A crew helps with trimming and caring for the trees. But he likes it.
I like to see them grow, and I like to see them shape up nice and look good. And that's more of a enjoyment than anything.
As Drager and I drive to look at more trees on one of his Christmas tree plantations, I keep thinking about the ornaments hanging from the tree in the Capitol Rotunda. Going fishing, cheese, and Kringles, all of those Wisconsin traditions, and I can't help but think, what's his?
I guess the trees would be the big tradition, and the trees and the buying the presents and the family get-togethers. I guess that would be the 3 biggest reasons.
So if you had to design an ornament to go on that tree, it would be a tree?
Probably.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council.
The tradition of Christmas trees in Wisconsin goes far beyond the tree in the Capitol. Wisconsin's northern Europeans were the ones who actually began the traditions of bringing live trees indoors for the holidays. And when it comes to growing those trees, Wisconsin does a pretty good job at it.
We're joined now by the co-owners of Schrader's Forever Green. Sue Schrader is with us. Her evergreen trees have won state and national competitions, and she's had the opportunity to present a Christmas tree to the people of the United States to place in the White House. Sue, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. So where does the tradition of putting live evergreen trees in our houses for the holidays come from?
Well, from the research that we have found through the National Christmas Tree Association, the use of live evergreens as a symbol for the celebration of life started way back with the ancient Romans and Egyptians. And the practice has evolved over the centuries and has incorporated the celebration of Christmas when it came to the German areas or Germanic areas of Europe. And, of course, when those folks immigrated here to the United States, they brought their traditions with them.
And what kind of trees do we generally put in our homes?
Well, here in Wisconsin, and I can just speak, all over the United States, there are different trees that grow better locally. But here in Wisconsin, the balsam fir, the Fraser fir, and in the recent past, in the past 25 years, Scotch pine, white pine, and the different spruce trees were all very popular. Currently on our retail lot and at our wholesale location, balsam fir and Fraser fir are the two biggest sellers.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like when I was a kid, you didn't see Fraser firs, at least not many of them, and now there are lots that are dedicated to nothing but Fraser firs. What happened with the Fraser's rise in popularity?
Well, for one thing, they are not native to the state of Wisconsin. They are more native to the hills of North Carolina, from what I understand. But they became popular because they have a little bit heavier branch than the balsam fir does. They oftentimes will retain their needles just a little longer than the balsam fir. And you can, they will hold a heavier ornament because those branches are a little heavier. So they're something that folks really like as far as putting a lot of decorations and things on them.
Is there a kind of tree that's the most fragrant if you really want that beautiful evergreen smell?
Well, actually, both the balsam fir and the Fraser fir have a lot of fragrance, and they are probably not the pine scent that you're thinking, but they are a very beautiful scent, and they're somewhat close in scent, but not exactly.
Now, you have won national competitions and provided the tree for the governor's mansion and the White House. What goes into growing a tree that's that good that it gets to sit in the White House?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of labor, a lot of tender, loving care, and you know, a lot of help from above. We do not have irrigation at our farms. Our farms are all irrigated from the rain and the snow we receive throughout the year, and so it's, you know, there's a lot of things you need to learn to grow a good Christmas tree, just like to be a good farmer in any sort of crop. And I guess you also just have to have that little bit of luck and just, I don't know. We've been very lucky, and we think we produce some of the best trees that, you know, can be produced.
So which White House was your Christmas tree in?
We won in 2011, so we presented it in November of 2011.
So that was, of course,
Michelle Obama accepted the tree on behalf of the people of the United States.
Well, yes. What was that like? Did you get to travel with the tree and see it off to its new home?
Well, we did not travel with the tree, but when the tree was harvested at our farm in central Wisconsin, it was put on a FedEx freight truck, or FedEx ground, excuse me, truck, and we said goodbye, and then we met up with it when it was brought on a horse-drawn carriage to the North Portico of the White House the day after Thanksgiving that year, and it was truly special.
So would you call Wisconsin a particularly good place to grow evergreen trees?
It is. It is a very good place to grow the varieties of Christmas trees that, you know, we are known for. Like I said, we are now known for balsam fir and Fraser fir, and of course some of the pines. We have something that helps with their keepability. In other words, when we harvest them, we can harvest them and ship them across the United States, and they keep quite well because, generally speaking, we have a good killing frost before our harvest season. Our killing frost is generally in early October, and that helps with keeping the trees fresh after shipping.
In terms of the shape of the tree, I understand there's some pruning that goes on, and I wonder what sort of shape do you go for when you're pruning a tree to get a classic Christmas tree shape?
Well, honestly, over time, that has changed a little bit, too, at least in our operation. The obviously, the conical shape that everybody thinks of a Christmas tree, we have lots of different shapes and sizes out there now, but we have found in the last 10 or 15 years, folks are wanting, we're having a call for more narrow trees than we did a few years prior. People that live in smaller spaces, you know, need just not quite as wide and full a tree. But in all honesty, I've retailed almost 40 years, and every shape and every size we have a request for.
Right. It used to be, I feel like in the past it did used to be those nice round fat trees that took up a lot of width, and now it is those narrow trees. So it's interesting that it goes in and out of fashion.
Well, that's just the way it is, isn't it?
I guess so. So what do you have in your house?
What I have in my house this year is a Fraser fir. It is 8 feet tall, and it is moderately wide. It's not the super widest one, and it's not a super narrow one. We're kind of right in the middle this year.
And
you can hear all the family members in the background now.
I hear some dogs.
Yeah.
So once you've got the tree in the stand, are there things that you can do to preserve its lifespan and the rate that it drops needles, or is it just sort of the breed of the tree?
Well, actually, it's kind of both, and it starts before you put the tree in the stand. You need to buy from a reputable retailer if you're buying it already cut. You need to be sure it's fresh. As we're speaking today, it's probably too late to be worrying about the test for freshness because most people have already got their tree. But you need to make a fresh cut right before you put that tree in the stand in the house. And then once that fresh cut has been made, it needs to be placed in a stand that holds quite a bit of water. Now, my tree just came in 2 days ago, and it has drank over a gallon of water every day. In fact,
thirsty.
I put another gallon in this afternoon. So a water-holding stand, and keep an eye on that stand, and that's the very most important thing. The other things you can do is, obviously, you don't add anything to that water. Contrary to all the rumors out there, you don't need aspirin or 7-Up or vodka or whatever. Just plain old water. That's what got it to where it is, and it's, you know, going to keep it fresh. And then, obviously, don't put it in front of a heat source like a heat register or a fireplace, someplace that would be drying and hot, because that's just kind of common sense.
And you mentioned a couple of tests for freshness when you're buying the tree. Now, it might be too late for a lot of people this season, but we'll think ahead to next year. What are some things that we should look out for?
Well, one thing you should take a look at, now this is in temperatures that aren't bitter, bitter cold, okay? If it's 3 degrees, it doesn't hold up. If the branch is pliable and it doesn't snap off as a dry branch might, that is one good sign. If you gently pull your hand across the needles or across the branch and you don't end up with a handful of needles, that's a good sign. And again, taking just a look at it, and if it looks healthy and fresh, it probably is.
Sue, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome.
We've been talking to Sue Schrader, co-owner of Schrader for Evergreens.